This is Stewardship Month. Once again, our theme is there any word from the Lord? And what do we say? Yes, there is. Amen. Yes, there is. There's much to say about from the Lord, has much to say to us. And we talked about, is there anything from the Lord about God? Is there anything from the Lord about His church? And today we have, is there anything from the Lord about giving? Giving. Giving is a very interesting subject. It's a very, sometimes negative to people, but be it tithing offerings, be it whatever it is, and giving is very important in our life. Someone said that unhappiness is the hunger to get. People that are unhappy or have a hunger to get, always wanting to get. But also they say that happiness delights itself in giving. Giving. Happiness delights itself in giving. You know, it's a blessing to be able to give. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about just to give. Give yourself. Give time. You know, what a blessing it is to be able to help somebody, to do something for somebody, just to give. I mean, it's just a blessing that we have the opportunity to do that in our life. And God has given us that ability, that knowledge that we ought to be giving. We ought to be giving. So today, is there any word from the Lord about giving? Is there any word from the Lord about giving? Today, we want to look at a New Testament standard of giving, created by an example for us. An example of giving for you and I. And we'll look at that in just a minute. We know that during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at His life, He taught much about money. He taught much about money and giving. We see it through the parables that He taught. We see it in the treasure hid in a field, in the prodigal son, the laborers in the vineyard. We see it in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. We see it in the widow's mite, the young ruler. Many of His parables and teachings that He went through, that he gave us, was about money, was about giving. And so we see today, as we look at this, is there any word from the Lord about giving? We have to say, yes, there is. There's much in the Word of God about giving, especially in the New Testament. But today, again, I want us to focus on, again, a standard of giving, an example of giving for you and I. And I think that we all know about, but we all need to refocus about giving. Philippians chapter 2, I want to begin with reading verse number 1. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let's pray first. Father, I want to thank You today for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for bringing us together once again in Your house. Thank You, dear God, that we're able to be here today. We get to come to Your house. Lord, it's not, I got to go to church. But, Lord, we're grateful to know that we get to come to Sunday school and church to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we get to hear from You, from Your Word. God, we pray today now, Lord, as we open Your Word, I pray the Spirit of God will be our teacher. He will lead and guide in all that we say and all we do today. Lord, may You be honored. May You be glorified. Lord, this day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, we see in this passage here the death of Christ here as He gave Himself completely to death, to die, giving himself. What an example we have here in the scriptures of the Lord Jesus Christ as one willing to give, willing to give. He gave obediently, he gave himself even to death for you and for me. And my, what an example that is for you and I when it comes to giving, when it comes to giving. We see the death of Jesus Christ is mentioned 120 times at least in the New Testament, and many times throughout the Old Testament by the prophets, that Jesus Christ is going to die. He's going to die. Now, when we look at the death of Jesus Christ, first of all, we see some things about it. First of all, the death of Jesus Christ was vicarious. In other words, we see here that he died in my place, in your place. Verse 7 and 8 here in this passage of Scripture tells us about that, how he was a substitute for sinners. He died in my place. You know, I need to really grasp that and get hold of that in my heart and to realize that Jesus Christ died for me personally. He died for you personally. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at a familiar verse here. Verse 21. He was my substitute. He became your substitute. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. For he hath made him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ became sin for you and for me. He was my substitute. He became sin for me on the cross. He became sin on the cross for you and I. So we see, first of all, that Jesus Christ, his death was vicarious. He took your place, he took my place. My, what a Savior, folks. What a Savior that he would give his life for us. By faith in him, we as sinners are made righteous. Not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness that has clothed us and given us the righteousness that we have today because of him and his righteousness. So we see the death of Jesus Christ was vicarious. We also see, example in giving, that the death of Jesus Christ was natural. Turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Look at verse number 31. The death of Jesus Christ was natural, a natural death. A natural death. John 19. Look at verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross, for just after the death of Christ, on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, notice, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record of his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. We see that in the book of Psalms 34, verse 20. It was prophesied that when Jesus died, no bone will be broken in his body. No bone will be broken in his body. See, Jesus, he died a natural death. He died a natural death. His spirit and soul were separated from his body. He died a natural death. We also see not only that, the death of Christ was vicarious, it was natural, but it was also unnatural. It was unnatural. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. His death was unnatural. It was unnatural. How was it unnatural? We mean that since he was sinless, Jesus was sinless, was he not? He was sinless. Not only that, in that he did no sin because he was sinless. We also see he had no sin. He knew no sin. But on the cross, before he could die, he had to become sin. Therefore, he took upon my sin. He took upon your sin. Now, that's an unnatural death. An unnatural death. Because he who knew no sin took my sins upon him and died in my place and died in your place. Thank God for that today. Jesus Christ, his death was unnatural. Also, his death was supernatural. It was supernatural, too. If you will, turn to John, close to where you are, back a few pages, chapter 10. John chapter 10, look at verse 17 and 18. 17 and 18. His death was unnatural. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Notice he says, I lay down my life. I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, Jesus said, but I lay it down of myself. I lay it down on myself. See, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. His death was a supernatural death. He laid his own life down for you and I. Folks, this is giving. This is what giving is all about. Jesus Christ being the example for you and I as he gave himself for you and me. He died for us. A vicarious death, a natural death, a supernatural death. And we see here, because of that, we see an example of giving, what giving is really all about when we look at Jesus Christ. Now, notice, only God in the form of man, only God himself in the form of man could die a vicarious, a natural, unnatural, and also a supernatural death. Amen? Only God could do that. He's the only one that could do that. Well, we see now the Christian, our standard of giving, he is our example. He's our example in giving. Now, the question is this, how are we to give? How are we to give? When we look at Jesus, his life, how he died for us, how are we to give? We see three things here. Number one, we see that we are to give sacrificially. Jesus sacrificially gave himself, didn't he? We're to sacrificially give also. Sometimes we need to give when it hurts, so we know what giving is. You know, when you have plenty of money in the bank and everything is well, it's easy to give, isn't it? I mean, you know, we just give. Don't even think about it. Well, when the bank account's kind of low and you got this bill to pay and that bill to pay and you know where the money's coming from, that's a different story when you sacrificially give to the Lord. But we need to learn to give sacrificially. Sacrificially. Jesus Christ did. He gave sacrificially. In 2 Corinthians, turn back to 2 Corinthians again, please, and chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, look at this verse. We see two things in this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for his what? Unspeakable gift he gave. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Listen, we can't say enough about salvation, folks. We can't say enough about what Jesus has done for us. We just can't tell it enough. It's a great story to tell, isn't it? It's a great story to tell. And we ought to be telling you where we go. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. What do we see here? We are to be giving sacrificially. Giving is a motivation, should be a motivation to us. We should be motivated to give because of the grace, the mercy, and also literally the compassion of God and what he's done for us. That should drive us. Paul says, the love of God what? Constrains me. It constrains me. You see, the love of God should motivate us. The compassion of God should drive us, if you please. The compassion, the love, the mercy, and the grace of God should motivate us to give. To give. Because of what he's done for us, folks. Listen, you've heard the story many times. You cannot give God, and that's true. You cannot give God. It's impossible to do that. But we are to give sacrificially, first of all. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for me. May God help us to learn to give sacrificially. Give when it hurts. Give when it hurts. Give when you don't see a way. How are you going to do it? But give anyway. Just trust God. That's what faith promise is, folks. It's just giving to God, just trusting God. God, I trust you to supply this amount, weekly, monthly, whatever it is. And by your grace and your help, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it. Test God, prove God. That's what he says in his word, to prove him. And I guarantee you, you won't come short. God will always meet what you by faith promise to give to him and give to the work of the mission program here at Fellowship Baptist Church. So first of all, we're to give sacrificially. Number two, we're to give secretly. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Secretly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. You find Jesus is speaking here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 3, and when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Don't boastfully give. Secretly give. Secretly give. It's just amazing what God will do when we give and let nobody know what we're doing. But only God knows our heart. He knows why we give. He knows the purpose of what we're doing. The act of giving is not to draw attention. We're not to give to draw attention to ourselves. We're not to do that. Giving secretly, first of all, it glorifies the Lord. It glorifies the Lord because, see, he knows our hearts. He sees our hearts. And when we give secretly, he knows it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. It's not just boastfully saying what I'm going to do, you know. But it's good. Giving we see here secretly glorifies the Lord and not yourself. And not yourself. Listen, what do we have the glory in anyway? Nothing. All we have come from who? Come from God. You know, we have nothing to glory in. We also see when we give secretly, giving secretly prevents pride and boasting. Pride and boasting. When we give secretly, you know. It's not, look what I've done, you know, but I'm just going to give to God and nobody knows but me and God. And that's all that matters anyway, is the fact that I give. I obey him. I love him and I obey him. That's the whole key in giving. That's the whole key in giving, you see. And also we see the act of giving is a form of worship. It's a form of worship. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 today. Look at verse 1 and 2. Giving is a form of worship. First Corinthians 16, verse number 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches at Galatia, even so do ye. Fellowship Baptist Church. Okay? Fellowship Baptist Church. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. We need to be consistent in our giving. Consistent in our giving. When do we do it? Upon the first day of the week. When is the first day of the week? Sunday. That should be our day of giving. The first day of the week. First day of the week. Also, not only be consistent, but we're to bring our offerings to the church. To the church, God's storehouse. Bring our offerings to the church. That's why he tells us here. The act of giving is a form of worship because we do it consistently and we bring it to God's house. We bring it to God's house. Then we trust God, we pray for God to give direction as what that is used for. See, God is in charge, not us. Once I give my offering to my tithe and offering to God, why, it's His in His hands then. What He does with it is at His will, hopefully. And the church is praying, asking God's will what's done. Every time we take up an offering, you might preach it, we'll also ask for God to give wisdom. That's what His funds should be used for. See? And that's the way it ought to be. We don't worry about it. You know, it's our responsibility to give. And then it's up to God, through the pastor and the leadership of the church, to make sure that funds go where they need to go. See? And this is what we need to give secretly. Give secretly to the Lord. Nobody knows what you give. Of course, the bookkeeper knows what you give, but she don't measure on it. She knows somebody's got to know, you know. But she's the only one that does know, you know. And so we see that we're to give secretly unto the Lord, secretly unto the Lord. You see. Also, not only are we to give sacrificially and secretly, but Christians are to give submissively, submissively. In Matthew chapter 6, back where we were, turn back there, Matthew chapter number 6. Look at verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But, notice, it says, lay up your treasures in where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Notice it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye being single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What do we see here? Christians are to give submissively. We're to practice giving cheerfully and obediently to the Lord. Obediently and cheerfully to the work of the Lord. And when we do that, what does that do? That simply reveals the nature of our heart. The nature of our heart. Why are we giving? We're to give. A primary principle of tithing and giving is the fact that we do with our money What we do with our money reveals our heart. What you spend your money on reveals your heart. What you do with what God gives you reveals your heart. Where your heart is, there will be what? Your treasure also, the Bible says. So therefore, giving reveals love and obedience to God when we give to God. So it's very important that we learn to give to God submissively. Submissively. See. And when we do that, is our hearts with the world, our worldly treasures? Is that what our focus is upon? Or is our heart heavenly and on eternal things? Eternal things that'll last, not earthly things that are going to not last long. When we practice giving obediently and cheerfully, this does not secure a home in heaven, folks. It doesn't secure a home in heaven, but it does reveal our hearts towards what God has done for us when we give obediently and cheerfully to the cause of Christ. A personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the only way we can go to heaven, is through Him. We know that. Are we giving sacrificially? Are we giving secretly? Are we giving submissively in our lives as Christians? God wants to have us do that. Jesus did. He did. And He's our example. He's our example. What a greater example can we have than the Lord Jesus? None. He's the example we ought to follow. He teaches us that from the Word of God. Are we laying up treasures on earth? Are we laying up treasures in heaven? On earth, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be dissolved, be done away with. But we need to be laying up treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19 through 24. We see some tremendous truths here. We see three choices. We see three choices in these verses right here. Number one, we see the choice of love. We see the choice of looks. We see the choice of the Lord's. We see in verse number 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. My, what a choice that is to make. We see here the riches here. The riches in heaven are worth more than anything on this earth. The treasures in heaven. We need to lay up treasures in heaven. We see in verse 22 and verse 23, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The world is full of darkness, folks. The world is alluring us all the time to get us to get. You know, I wonder sometimes, of course, this would probably put the mail carriers out of business, but if I never got any trash in the mail, I call it trash, like sale things and all this kind of stuff that you always get, if I didn't get that, somebody wouldn't have a job. Because I throw it away every week. I mean, just bunches of it. Sale papers and all that stuff. See, the world is out to get you. To get your money, to get your time, to get your heart, to get everything about us. And we had to be careful. We had to be mindful of everything that we do, that it may bring honoring glory to Christ. Honoring glory to Christ. I was in a place this past week. There were some men in there, and they were talking about some things. They say they're Christians. And they were talking about some things they were doing, and they know they shouldn't do it, and they don't know why they're doing it. And I said, well, first of all, our hearts are desperately wicked. We know that. But the best way to stop saying something or doing something that we know we shouldn't do is to fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. And when the Word of God is in us, in our minds, in our hearts, well, then things that are going to come out of our hearts are going to be decent in what God wants to come out. But until then, you know, it's free. Our mouths are free to say what they want to say because there's nothing in our heart that's good. But when we get the Word of God in our hearts, well, then the light changes, you see. Notice also we see here the Lord's. In verse number 24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two gods. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, you see. First of all, we're going to be dedicated to one, and we're going to despise the other. Let me ask you something. Do you despise the devil? Anybody despise the devil in here? I do. I despise him. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want him to have anything to do with me. But that's going to only grow as I become more dedicated to Jesus Christ. As I dedicate myself to God more, Jesus Christ, then I'm going to despise Satan more. And the things of this world that are trying to lure me and to get me, get hold of me, and occupy me and demand me, you see. All these things that we have, I don't know. But I believe with all my heart there's more things probably in the world today to distract the Christian, to live the Christian life than it ever been. I mean, we have it everywhere. It's the internet. It's on TV, I mean, it's on some radios, it's on billboards, stores you go to, grocery stores, everywhere you go, you see it. Everywhere you go. It's just distraction on every hand. Praise God, folks. One day we're going to be out of this place. We won't have to be worried about no more sin. It's going to all be gone. It's going to all be gone. Thank God for that. What is a treasure? A treasure is simply what one values. One values. So what's important to you? See, what your treasure is may not be my treasure. What's your value? What's more valuable to you in this world than anything else? What's more valuable to you than anything else in this world? We know treasures were illustrated through figures of speech throughout the scriptures. We know that Israel was God's treasure as a nation. We know also that a person's memory is a treasure. It's a treasure to you, to me. Things I can think about in the past that's taken place in my life that are good. That are good. Someone says, I don't understand why I keep forgetting things. It's got up in age and life. The older I get, the more I forget. Well, you realize this, the more older you get, the more you have to forget. So maybe that's why it's happening. I don't know. But a memory is a valuable treasure in our lives. It's very valuable in our lives. Jesus contrasted earthly things with heavenly things. What's more important? What's more important? We know the answer. When a person's treasures or values determines his loyalty and his priority. That's what he's saying. Your treasures, my treasures, determine my loyalty and also my priority. What is first in my life? What am I loyal to? Things in this world or things of God? That's my treasure. You know, we should marvel today. We should be thankful and yet marvel at the treasure that God of God's revelation of Himself in Jesus Christ for you and I that He's given us in our vessel to live within us, the Spirit of God. Folks, that's a treasure. To know that the Holy Spirit lives within me and He'll never leave me, He'll never forsake me, that's a treasure that God has given to believers. And we have it throughout eternity. That's a treasure in heaven. A treasure in heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven. The love of wealth makes bitter men. The love of wealth makes bitter men. And on the other hand, the love of God makes better men. Makes better men. I don't want to be a bitter man, do you? I want to be a better man. I want to learn to love God more every day in my life because of what He's done for me. Give. Learn to give sacrificially. Learn to give secretly. Learn to give submissively to God, folks, and see what God will do for you. And you'll see what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is just to give. You know, I can give you many illustrations of giving. My wife, she works at school. Sometimes she gives out things to little kids. And many times, those little kids, sooner or later, they come to her and give her things that just shocks her. If it ain't nothing but a hug, they say, Miss Hall, I love you. I love you. See, don't focus on the major things when it comes to giving. Focus on anything to give. I really haven't learned to give. I really haven't learned to live. And we haven't learned to live, folks, until we learn to give. Sacrificially, secretly, submissively. Not only to God, but to others. Do you realize there are people out there today that are hurting in many ways? It may be because of sickness, health. It may be, you know, financially. Family problems and all this, and they need help. They need someone to love them. Many of them need help financially. We need to learn to give. To give. Just to give. Brother Alford said, I don't know, it's been last year sometime, about sometimes people coming up to him and wanting some money for something. You know, the Bible tells us if we got something on us, we ought to give it. I don't mean give $1,000 like that. But if somebody needs something, you say, I need $5 to buy me some lunch or whatever it is, you know, we ought to be willing to give it, folks. Give it. So how you know it's real? Well, you don't, that's not your business. That's God's business, you know. Sometimes somebody comes to you and wants some food or something, you be at a restaurant and say, come on in, I'll buy you something. That's what we ought to be doing, folks. He said, gas, come down here, I'll go down to the gas station and get you some gas. You know? Nothing wrong with helping people like that. We ought to do that. But I'm afraid we've got an old world and we think we shouldn't give nothing to nobody. We should hoard it in ourselves and get all we can and count all we get. What's going to happen with it when you die? Your family's going to fight over it. It's all going to happen. Why not learn to give now and enjoy giving to people that have needs in their life? People have needs, folks. Jesus gave everything he had for you and for me. What he's given me, I want to give to somebody else. Help out. Do what I can for somebody else. That's what life's all about, folks, is learning to give. Learning to give. Someone said, what I kept, I lost. What I spent, I had. What I give, I have. What I give, I have. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, an example he is to us in giving. Lord, I just pray, God, you would help us, Lord, to maybe examine our lives. Lord, and ask ourselves the question, Lord, what am I doing when it comes to giving to the Lord? What am I doing when it comes to giving to other people that have needs in their lives? Father, help us, Lord, that we might be willing to obey you and cheerfully give according to your will for our life in every situation. Father, bless now our people. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you give us all a great week ahead. Bless the service we're about to go into, Lord. Have your willing way in every heart and every life. Lord, may someone here today be saved. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.